Have you ever had a nightmare neighbor? You know, a neighbor from hell? You know what I'm talking about. If so, we want to hear about it in our brand new podcast, Nightmare Neighbors. That's right. We got another one in the works. But we need your stories first. Go to nightmareneighbors.com and send in your nightmare neighbor story. Or call in toll free 888-68-CRAZY. 888-68-CRAZY. And share your nightmare neighbor story with us. And we may talk about it and use it on a future episode of the Nightmare Neighbors podcast coming very soon. Maybe they're your current neighbors. Maybe they were a neighbor from years gone by. Now is the chance to tell your story anonymously. Go to nightmareneighbors.com to share your nightmare neighbor story with us. Or call 888-68-CRAZY. And be part of the brand new Nightmare Neighbors podcast. Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, a child deals with unexplained voices in his room late at night. Does he ever find an explanation or source of the words whispered in his ear?
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is. And yes, 855-853-4802, the phone number you can call 24/7. Share your real ghost stories with us or write in on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. And if you want to take it a bit further, and you're going, I really, really like this show. I wish there was more content, more than the several thousand episodes that you've already put up. Then you can become an EPP, an extra podcast person. Those are people who have access to our bonus episodes, brand new ones every single week, more than 300 of them now, because we've been doing this show for more than 300 weeks. And you get access to every single one of those, new ones every week. You also get access to our regular episodes weeks before they're released to the public, commercial free too. And you get our ebook and you get our audiobook. Lots of bonuses there. It's only $5 a month. That's what supports the show. That's what keeps us on the air. Without your support, we wouldn't exist. So please consider doing that. Ghostpodcast.com is where you can sign up, or patreon.com/realghoststories if you already are a supporter. Thank you so much. Obviously, this pirate ship would not be afloat without you. So thank you for that. Tony and Jenny Brewski joining you again.
Hi.
And what's going on in your world today?
Well, it's still my birthday.
It is still your birthday. We record our episodes back to back.
We do.
And it is still your birthday. So you know, I thought you were going to say, well, yesterday was my birthday. To play along with not breaking the fourth wall. Oh, that's really not breaking the fourth wall, is it?
No, yeah. I'm just honest with the audience. We record all of our shows together on Monday. Wednesday.
Yep.
So it's still my birthday, and it'll be my birthday on the next show too.
It's amazing how that works. It's like your birthday just spreads out for extra days, and then we have to re-celebrate the day that the show airs.
You know, but I'm not one of those birthday week people. Have you seen that where people are like, oh, it's my birthday week? And it's like, okay, you were born on one day. Your mom was not in labor for an entire week. So it doesn't, you don't get a birthday week. You get a birthday.
I believe we have a daughter that kind of does that sometimes, or did when she was younger.
She did when she was younger.
Yeah. Not so much anymore.
No, no. But it was the whole week.
Yeah.
It was planned out. It was about her. And I know I have had other family members be that way too.
What I've always just done personally the day.
Yeah.
If I remember.
Yeah.
In recent years I've had to be reminded. Uh-huh. Where it's like, you know, today's your birthday, right? Like
it is. Yeah, I knew that, yeah. Right?
It's been a nice surprise some days. I don't know if it was last year or the year before, but it was like somebody's like, today's your birthday. No shit, really.
No, these are just your everyday balloons.
Yeah, like so. I didn't But that's how I am. And it's funny. I mean, that's one of those things that I've learned over the years of how my brain processes dates or doesn't process dates. It's a very much an Aspie thing. And I've talked about that obviously on the air many times, and I've had people go, "You're making fun of Asperger's." No, I'm not, because I'm one of them.
Yeah.
So there's no making fun. I can talk all I want about something that I have. It affects me directly, but that's how I work. I've always wondered that, like, why is it like other people can be so good with dates? And sometimes, and there's versions of this where you are like ridiculously good on that.
And that's me.
Yeah, or not at all. Yes.
And that's my version of Aspie, yeah, is the fact that I can remember dates. I did very, very well in all my history classes because I can remember dates,
yeah,
like nobody's business, and names.
It's like it's a switch. Mm-hmm. Either you have that switch turned on with this or you don't. And there's no middle ground. It's either you're savant-like on it or not at all.
And I think that's part of the reason sometimes you and I have butt heads about it, because I don't understand why you still have to look at Facebook to remember when my birthday is, when I can remember, you know, the date we first emailed, the date we first met, yeah, the date we first saw each other in person.
And I could give you every detail of those experiences,
but not the dates. I know.
Which to me, I mean, that to me is the most important part. And obviously I'm sure that is to you too, but I'm just not good at the number, and I will never remember numbers. I won't remember names for the most part.
Yeah.
I did say to you the other night, I said, you know, I think I remember animal names better than people names.
And I think you do. I think it's true, because I think you feel more of a connection a lot of times to four-legged friends than two-legged friends. And I'm not saying that to be mean, but I do think that that's the case.
I mean, do, too.
I don't remember the last time I saw you hug a human friend, but you hug a horse every day.
I don't know.
So.
Yeah, it's kind of one of those things. So, yeah. Anyway, 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. We would absolutely love to hear them. Of course, write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. Let's go to our first letter. It says, I've always been sensitive. When I was a toddler, I had imaginary friends and people I talked to with in-depth conversations. My mom knew they were more than imaginary by the way I spoke to them and interacted. My mom and maternal grandmother are sensitive as well, but their stories are for another day. Once I grew out of my toddler stage, I did not have any more experiences until I turned 15. My parents started looking at larger homes for rent. I was a teenager. My brother was 7, and we had a very energetic husky puppy. We needed more space. My mom and dad were searching for months, and finally my mom fell in love with a house in an old and historic part of town, which is in western North Carolina. This part of town has always felt, I cannot think of a more fitting word, creepy. It is full of old, mysterious houses set back from the road, surrounded by thick laurels and tall pines. Most of the roads, ours especially, were very dark and foreboding due to the vegetation. My parents were so excited to show me the house they had found, and they already paid the deposit, and we were set to move in the next weekend. The first time I went to the house, I stepped out of the car, and instantly, the hair stood up on my arms and neck, and my stomach lurched. The house was beautiful. It was a sprawling cottage-style house with vaulted ceilings and a sprawling, lush yard that was even equipped with massive oak and swings attached to a long branch. Could have passed for a scene from a Disney fairy tale, but it was hard to see the beauty through the unexplainable fear I had as soon as my feet touched the property. I tried to push my fear down and hide it because my parents were so excited. For the first time in my life, I had a huge room with an ensuite bathroom. The first time I took a shower in my new bathroom, my heart started racing, and I felt like someone was watching me every single second. Every time I went into my bathroom, I had the same feeling of eyes on me, my heart racing in reaction. I soon started using the guest bathroom only and leaving my bathroom door shut. The house was always very cold, at least 10 degrees cooler than outside. We know that it's never a good sign. I was not the only person experiencing weird feelings, I soon found out. My parents and my little brother remarked several times that they always felt someone was watching them. Not long after we moved in, we started hearing strange noises as well. There was an attack in the house, and often we would hear heavy footsteps, sounds coming from above us in this attack. More than once, all four of us heard someone walk through the house while we were in the living room with a full view of the whole house and could see, in fact, there was no one there. For some strange reason, the attack had a stained glass window that looked out onto what we made our family room. I think attack is the wrong word here. I think their spell check put attack to mean some other thing. I'm trying to figure out what it is.
I don't know.
It's referring to some portion of the house because it says the attack had a stained glass window.
Attic.
Okay. So their spell check put
their attack.
Attack. Okay. So, sorry. I was just reading as was written. Continuing on, it says, we thought maybe this part of the house had been an add-on at some point, and the owners wanted to keep the rare stained glass. Our dog did not like anything about that window. She would jump up out of a deep sleep, look towards the window, and bark and growl. She did this quite often. My big experience in this house happened not long before we moved out. The bedroom doors were originally to the house. They were thick and heavy and did not have locks. I was 15 and wanted my privacy, so my parents bought me a chain lock. It was one of those locks like you place on an outside door for extra protection. One weekend night, I was laying in my bed watching the Golden Girls on TV, and at some point, I started to drift off. I was half asleep to the point I could hear the TV in the background, but I was also aware that I was falling asleep. I suddenly felt and heard someone whispering in my ear. Their breath was hitting my neck and my ear rapidly in a frantic type of way. They were saying my name and wake up. You have to wake up. It clicked in my head that it was my little brother and something was wrong. I sat up in bed and panicked and said, Garrett, what's wrong? Are you okay? He was not in the room. No one was in the room. I looked at my door and my chain lock was still in place. And I remembered that I locked it before I laid down to watch TV. I still get chills thinking about the breath hitting my neck and ear. Thank you for reading my story. I'm a huge fan and an EPP. I love Jenny's IG. She says a lot of things I say in my head out loud. I have some much scarier experiences that have happened to me as an adult I'd love to share in the future. Take care and stay well in these crazy times. And by the way, if you want to follow Jenny's IG, which is Instagram, at Jenny Brewski, right?
Yes.
Bruski.
That's right.
Yep.
And I do.
Jenny.
Those things that you know, go through your head. Yeah, I just say them out loud on there. So.
And I wish you popped up in my feed more. I always like, you're like, did you see my post? I'm like, no.
I don't know why I don't pop up in your feed.
You're like the only person I have starred. Like, there's a way you can like star like your best friends or whatever.
Thank you.
You're the only person I have like, and it still doesn't show up. So I don't know.
I don't know either.
But I do go back and just look at your feed then.
Thank you.
And then I laugh. It makes me feel good. But no, it's funny. Very interesting story there.
Yeah. I wonder if the stained glass window had anything to do with, you know, the weird feelings in that area. If, you know, just having that old of a piece of a different house. Or did they say it was of a different house? And it was just, they wanted to use it again.
It was part of the house. And they wondered if the previous owners just left it because it didn't really fit a whole lot with the house anymore.
Oh, okay.
So it's like kind of been updated over the years, but that still stayed. That's an interesting thing. And I wonder what your thoughts are on old stained glass windows. Because every once in a while, you know, you'll be in an antique store and you'll see that. It's somebody that rescued a big stained glass window out of an old house that was probably being torn down. How does that register to you in terms of likelihood of being haunted next to mirrors that are used and old?
I definitely don't like mirrors. I don't mind old windows, though, because like we have that beautiful old mirror. It's a mirror now because I made it into a mirror. Mm-hmm. But that old window that your mom gave to us.
You made an old window into a mirror.
Well, there's a spray that you can do that.
Yeah.
And so it wasn't a mirror before. So it didn't like suck in all the negative energy of whatever past it had. Yeah. But I love old windows. Now, mm-hmm. I don't know about old stained glass because to me, I kind of want to know the history of it.
Yeah.
You know, was it in a church? Was it in a house? Where was it? That, to me, I guess is kind of an important factor.
Would you take it from a church?
I don't know. I have nothing against churches other than I feel like a lot of churches are haunted.
A lot of energy.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of things. I mean, unless you knew the house and where it came from, and you could kind of get a somewhat of a picture if you knew the history of the folks who had lived there. But a church is almost guaranteed, unless it was like, well, this church was around for a year and then went defunct, you know. But if it's like one of the churches, oh, this is functional for, you know, 80 years, you're guaranteed funerals, weddings, times of crisis, times of good, times of bad, times of everything. And people gathering in this location, it is guaranteed to have been around many emotional traumatizing moments.
A lot of energy. And that's what bothers me is the energy attached to something.
Sure.
But no, like your mom paints on old windows.
Yeah.
And I love those. I have no weird feelings about old windows in general, but it's the mirrors that do it for me. I just don't like old mirrors.
Old windows don't get me, like the clear windows, mm-hmm. but it's the stained glass that I feel has more of a story to it, because obviously stained glass, it's harder to come by. It's less common. And if it survived a long time, that's quite a feat in itself. And they're usually something that people remember. You know, there's like, I remember there's certain buildings I've walked through. I remember there's stained glass. It used to be quite a thing, you know, on like landings on stairwells in older houses, there'd be a stained glass kind of piece there if it was an exterior wall.
Yeah.
And to me, those are interesting pieces, because if there's one thing you remember of the house, of the structure or something, and maybe you're gone and maybe you're dead, maybe you're just moved away. I think sometimes those memories, the energy towards that, those sort of objects, you know, holds more than, you know, the banister.
Yeah.
If that makes any sense.
I love architectural items from old houses, but they all hold a bit of energy.
Mm-hmm.
And I just don't know about, I've never really given much thought to stained glass. Now, banisters, that's something touched.
That's something you touch too. Yeah.
And so often we talk about hauntings associated with stairs. I'd be a little leery of having any part of an old staircase.
People do that too.
Yeah, yeah. Of course.
That's always a neat thing to find in an antique store, where it's like, where does these stairs go? They're just out of an old house. They go nowhere.
Yeah.
If you'd like to install them in your house, you can buy them. But
do you remember that one set that we saw, the circular staircase that was in that antique store?
Yeah.
I so wanted a place for that, but it was like, there's no place for that in our house.
It would be fun, though. Just put the stairs up and then like put a faux door.
Yeah.
It's like, where does that go? It's not real.
It's Winchester House.
We just wanted stairs there because we thought they would look fun. That would be something we would do.
Yeah.
855-853-4802, our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Next story, it says, I was in my room when I woke up for no reason and looked out the window. I saw a lady in white dancing in my backyard, and it was not human. I had it had a glow to her, like I should go down and investigate. When I did, she was gone, but I saw all of these robed figures around my house and around my neighborhood. Some were black, some were white, some were dark blue, almost guards holding poles of some sort. I wanted to experience more, so I walked over to my neighbor's porch. It was very, very late, and everyone was asleep, and I saw through the trees this light, and no lamps were on where I was looking, so I looked and saw a girl dressed in 17th to 18th century style clothing, brushing her hair, looking at a mirror. Then I quickly as I saw it, a minute later, it went away. The odd disturbances continued when I was in my parents' room and saw two black hooded figures with what looked like a quilt coming towards me. Then it vanished. I also sat in my room one night and saw through the window someone else's house and people walking around in the garden mist. It wasn't anything that you could see from the bed or look outside. This is like something projected on my curtains. Then I saw a totally white figure lying down, bright as light. It looked like a cloud formation of a human and all these black-robed people sitting around him. Then I figured, why not see if I can get their attention? So I waved and smiled. One of the black-robed figures appeared to wave back. Another instance was I was looking around the basement, just relaxing, not asleep, and I saw a full apparition glide on the wall from one end of the room all the way and descended to go behind the TV. It was in a black robe, a hood covering its head, and I could see no feet or hands, just arms and legs and a torso and a head and no face. It scared the crap out of me. I honestly think I'm cursed because I've never had any good luck, and all these sightings just add to it. They all happened in 2013. It has been a pain trying either to think I should investigate this or should I leave it be. I don't really know. However, when it comes to supernatural, I have always kind of been hooked. Even though I'm Catholic, I keep bottles of holy water around and silver and salt just in case. I'm very spiritual. I do not need to worry. I feel I am protected. What are your thoughts? Robed figures seem kind of ominous and scary.
And the fact that you waved to them, that's like...
I
don't know that I would have had the gumption to do that.
Yeah.
I think I would have kind of just backed away slowly. Any kind of robed figures is just creepy, I think. Doesn't matter the color of the robe. If they're robed, I don't want to be part of it.
And it sounds like you can really look back at it to a different point in time and go, oh, that's okay. That was the era when everyone wore robes. Because, like, there really wasn't that era.
No.
It was like, you know, it's a ceremony of some sort going on.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't want them to know I'm here.
Mm-hmm. It's disturbing. And I don't know, you know, when you see that, I don't know if these are human spirits or non-human spirits that you're encountering or picking up on. And if others are able to see it or not, or if it's just you and your sensitivity that's allowing you to have that experience.
Yeah.
I don't know that I'd be wanting to investigate further. Obviously, it's this individual's call, but to me, it seems kind of dark.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you for sharing that one. 855-853-4802. Our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Hi, through yours.
Hi, my name is Dana. I'm from Cleveland, and I'm just going to give you a synopsis of my paranormal experiences that I've had, at least the ones that, you know, make a difference. So originally from Elyria, which is probably about an hour or so away from where my parents currently live now, so which is Geauga County. We moved there when I was just out of preschool. I was just going into first grade, just out of kindergarten. I'm sorry. But anyways, I was really young. And prior to us leaving, there was a lot of stress. And so I would always have really bad nightmares. And that's one reason why my parents moved. Most of my family lived on the same street. It was just a bunch of, you know, hillbilly nonsense. But anyways, we moved. And when we moved, the dreams sort of seemed to kind of get worse. Thinking that it was the initial stress and things like that, my sleeping became crazy. I would sleepwalk and grab all of my blankets and all of my pillows and go downstairs and just lay in front of my parents' bedroom doors. This happened for a really long time. It took years for me to be able to sleep without my mom making sure I stay in bed and not sleepwalk to the bedroom. So from that, when we moved in, it kind of escalated and the dreams became way more violent and way more aggressive. And it escalated to seeing figures, seeing people when I would wake up. And I would see one particular person over and over again. Blackest shade of black, but you can see the details of their body. And from the nose up, it was like they were crystalline. They were like shining and silver, and it was like a bright white, but it glows. And I would see them all the time. They were super creepy. They would just sit there with their giant eyes. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about, but if you've ever seen, like, a creepy cartoon character with just giant almond eyes, kind of like Lucky Cat, but gross. That's what these eyes were like. Anyways, I think it was a man, and he freaked me the heck out, and he visited often. I didn't just see him. I also saw figures that would come into... come up to the area that I was sleeping, which was on the second floor, and just sit by the window. From that, my mom and I were cleaning one day, and I heard my glasses go from a table, center of the table, to the center of the kitchen, and my mom made this little boo noise, and she came in and she asked me, "Nana, did you touch my butt?" "No, I didn't touch your butt." And I looked, pointed to the glasses. My glasses moved on their own. And she was like, "Whoa, crazy." But anyways, going from there back to the dreams, I had one dream that stuck with me my entire life. I had a dream that I was in summer camp around the age of 14. And I dreamt of a young man there. He was blonde, had tannish skin, bright blue eyes, a big smile, and kind of wiggly teeth. You know, like somebody who kind of has a tooth that's bigger by a lot than other teeth. Well, anyways, I just thought he was the cutest thing. And it was one of those dreams that was so happy I couldn't forget it. And it stayed with me my entire life. And as I got older and went through difficult relationship after difficult relationship, I finally find somebody who I'm going to marry. And it was probably about a year or so into the relationship that I realized who he was, because that dream came back to me and I remembered his face and I looked at the face of my partner now and it's them. They are the same person. Even down to the teeth, the hair, the big goofy smile, everything. I dreamt of my soulmate when I was 14. And here he is now. And I'll never forget that dream. Soon after he and I got together, he met my grandmother. And my grandmother passed away shortly after. I was devastated. She had Alzheimer's and dementia. Her and my mom were best friends. And when my fiance and I met, like went to see her, he met her for the first time. It was like she was the same person I knew her as before the Alzheimer's and dementia. She was talking, reminiscing. She was having a great time. And so I was like, oh my gosh, things are moving forward. And she soon passed away after that. But she passed away on her parents' wedding anniversary. And when we went to bury her, there was I believe it's called a tiger swallowtail butterfly, but it basically looks kind of like a monarch butterfly, but yellow. So when we went to bury her, there was this one that just kept circling us and circling us and circling us. And we all noticed it. Then as custom is, whenever we go to Pennsylvania, which is where she was originally from, we go to the top of this one mountain, which is also a park called Jake's Rocks. It's beautiful. Anyways, we went to the top there. We found the place that we usually normally go and sit, and here's another butterfly. It's the same type. And it's just circling us and circling us and circling us. We go and get gas, and there it is. We go and we all stop for food, and there it is again. I believe it was my grandmother following us, being with us as we mourned and celebrated and were together. I was distraught, though, still. I thought she was getting better, and I was crying and inconsolable for so long. And I dreamt of her one night. She came to me looking the same way she did when I was not even in school all the way up until I hit probably 16. She had bright red hair, a big bun on top of her head, folded over and flat. It was really strange, but I loved her. Anyways, so she came to me in this dream and she handed me a letter. And I opened the letter and I went downstairs and I stood on the stairs and I read it to my sister and my mom. She was standing there, but my family didn't seem to notice her. And what it said was, I'll always love you. I'm safe. I'm happy. And we'll see each other again. And I remember waking up and feeling a real sense of calm. My mom was more inconsolable than me, of course. And I told her, and she started crying, and she smiled, and it seemed like a gust of air came into the room at the right time and cleaned this negativity from us. It was amazing. It's beautiful. And I'll never forget any of these experiences. Well, thank you for your time. Jenny, stay sassy. Tony, stay silly. I adore all of your podcasts. And I can't wait to listen to more. Been listening for probably about 2 years now. And I wish you the best of luck with every endeavor you have. And stay safe.
I think the one that struck me the most was dreaming of her soulmate ahead of time. I think that's very interesting to first of all, remember that dream for so long and then to make that connection of that's who it is.
Yeah.
I think that's really neat.
Well, you said that you had seen Harper in a dream before we had her.
I dreamt that we had a little redheaded baby.
Yeah.
I can't say that it looked exactly the way Harper turned out, but I knew that we were going to have a redheaded baby.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then there she is.
And there she is.
Running around, saying crazy things every day.
And I found the other day, because we've been going through a lot of stuff since we downsized our house, but we upsized our land. We have been going through a lot of boxes. And I found my old first porcelain doll. Not that I had a huge collection, but this was a baby doll.
Yeah.
And she wore a yellow dress, but she had blue eyes and red hair painted on.
Yeah.
And I showed Harper. And I asked her, I said, Harper, do you want this? Because it looks like you. And it was my very first. Mm-hmm. She's like, no, Mom, it's creepy. You can keep it. So I put it in my special, like, sentimental tub, you know, of things that will go in the attic that we'll keep. And maybe her kids will want.
Yeah.
Or maybe not. Or maybe it'll just spontaneously break because it's, you know, had its feelings hurt.
Spontaneously start talking to us at some point.
But I thought it was interesting that it looked like Harper as a baby.
Yeah, it is. It is very interesting. That's, I think those sort of things happen as they did in this story of her meeting her soulmate in her dream, and something that happens with children too. So thank you for sharing that experience with us. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. I had something else I was going to say about us going through everything, and I completely just, it's like on the edge of my mind, but I can't remember what the point was going to be.
Was it your creepy clown that you found?
From your
crib that I put up on Instagram that's terrifying?
No, I didn't. We did find that. That was...
it was awful.
It's all sorts of weird shit that we had stored in boxes where it's like childhood toys. It's like, why do I still have this?
Because you're a hoarder. And so now we're going through and fixing you. Well,
a lot of the boxes where some of these things came from were delivered to us from my parents. It wasn't that I was hoarding them. It was more so... Every trip, it's like, here's a box of new stuff. And then it's like, oh, I forgot I even had this.
But you know, as a parent now, it's hard to know what is that special thing that your kid's going to want to pass on to their kids.
It is.
Or not. You know, does this hold a memory or not? Or is this just a simple Lego? Or is this the Lego that you held on to that made you feel safe or whatever?
Sure. No, it's interesting because you're exactly right. You don't know. sometimes what you as a parent almost want to assign to the child and say, this is going to be something special for you to hold on to they could give a shit about.
Yeah.
But it'll end up being like some obscure item that really doesn't have any monetary value, but it's the emotional value that they hold on to it for whatever reason. But it's like, you can't get rid of that.
But saving everything, then you have the option as an adult to go through and say, well, that didn't really touch me, but this did.
Exactly.
So... Yeah.
The hoarding continues.
Well, I've been kind of going through, I mean, Livy's almost 14 now, and going through her stuff, sending her pictures when she's bored and in Wichita. And I'm like, hey, do you want this or not? And she's like, no, I don't want that. Or yes, I do want this. So at least she's to the age where she can kind of differentiate. Harper right now wants to hang on to everything.
Yeah.
But she's a tiny you, so.
Yeah, she's a mini hoarder. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll get her a shed for a present. Here's your first hoarding shed.
Pink shed.
Be great.
Full of shit.
I knew what I was going to talk about. So I wanted to bring this up because we're talking about Harp. Very soon here on Real Ghost Stories Online on our feed, Harper is going to be joining us as a co-host on a single episode. I don't know if it's going to be weekly or bi-weekly, or we got to figure out kind of our rhythm. But she is going to join us on a regular basis for a once a week extra episode that'll air on the weekend of kid ghost stories. Or kid-friendly ghost stories.
Yeah, and not ones that she's made up or stolen from somebody else.
Well, she may make some shit up, but she's like, I want to tell my own stories too. I'm like, that's fine. But we're going to make sure that the stories are friendly enough for kids to listen to. I won't swear.
And we've talked to her about swearing.
Yes, so there'll be no swearing. So, because I know a lot of you like listening to the show and are not big fans of, you know, some of the grown-up language. I get it when you're with kids. So once a week, or like I said, some things like that, we will have a kid-friendly version of the program that she is going to co-host with me. And it's going to be fun. It's going to be her first foray into podcasting. She's very much wanting to get into podcasting herself.
Well, that's what she tells everybody when she grows up. She wants to be a podcaster.
Yeah. So I figure this is a great way. She likes the topic already. We'll get her introduced to it and she'll feel what it's like being on the air and kind of how that works. And then she can run with it. And then I'm sure she'll have her own shows too. It's just weird to think that that little girl is going to be sitting across from me, doing, a co-hosting job. Mm-hmm. And it's like, and she can do it. I'm totally confident in it too. I'm not like, I mean, she's done it, you know, over the years, every once in a while. She's been doing it for the last, you know, 7 years on the air, once a year, when she, at least she could talk.
Yeah.
She'll do her yearly ghost story, and it's been everything from No Noggin to the Haunted Steakhouse.
Yeah.
but she's ready to kind of jump more into this. So there you go.
She's almost eight, so it's hard to believe. But yeah, I mean, you've been playing radio since you were two. I think she's getting almost a late start.
Well, yeah, I mean, she's ready to start doing that. Mm-hmm. And she's got her full set of equipment to do it with. So it'll be coming soon. So be looking for that. And we'll talk more about that as that comes out onto the regular feed. But that'll be an extra thing on the weekends. So you got some extra content there. We're going to fill Saturday and Sundays on a regular basis with content. That's probably going to be one of them. The other day, maybe like a greatest hits, like a classic episode. Mm-hmm. Something we started doing during the pandemic as extra content. And we were sharing like old EPP episodes and things like that. And there's been some weeks as things kind of have, you know, I don't want to say calm down, but as we've kind of gotten more used to our new
loosened up.
Yeah. New reality. There's been some weeks where I honestly have like forgot to schedule stuff on the weekends. Cause I just, you know, I have, but I want to make this regularly Saturday and Sunday. There will be content there, whether it be greatest hits or, make it a regular thing where it's a kid friendly version of the program. So that's in the works.
Yeah.
So there you go. Some fun stuff as we lurch our way through summer and get closer and closer into the fall months when everybody's starting to look for more and more spooky things to listen to. So right. There you go. Fun stuff. That's going to wrap up the program for the day. 855-853-4802, our phone number to share your real ghost stories with us. Support our program. Become an extra podcast person, an EPP, as we call them. Go to ghostpodcast.com or through patreon.com/realghoststories. Until next time, for Jenny, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online. Hope everybody is doing their best right now as we're going through this crazy time in our world. I'm Tony Bruschi, host of Real Ghost Stories Online. I wanted to invite you and let you know about our other brand new podcast that we just launched, Help Kill the Time for You. It's called The Dark Side of Wikipedia. It's about true crime and dark history. We dive into some of the strangest, most disturbed minds and experiences from our history and examine their story, their Wikipedia entry, and then discuss the cases, the individuals, and the psychology of the events as we go through each and every story. Some of our first episodes include Ed Gein, the BTK killer, the New London School explosion, Amityville murders, Richard Speck, Amelia Dyer, the General Slocum disaster, Jeffrey Dahmer, and more. New episodes every single week. Check out Dark Side of Wikipedia. Search it. Subscribe wherever you download podcasts, including Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and more. It's available now with new episodes every single week. Dark Side of Wikipedia. Search and subscribe today and stay safe out there.